141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on an all to play for final night in an incredible championship. Queen's Park and Dundee both trying to win the title when they go head to head, as seven of the eight other teams are either aiming for promotion or survival. Celtic can of course wrap up the Premiership title before the weekend is out, and Malik Tillman's season is over. Will we see him in a Rangers shirt again? Michael Beale says Morelos and Kent still have a part to play. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
If you want context, I'll give you context. I was an 8-year-old primary school boy when Queen's Park were last in the top flight. That's a while ago, Kenny. That's how far they have come in the last 65 years. No more amateurs, fully professional, and could be in the Premiership next season. And I think my pal Oney Coyle has been quite subtle, putting the pressure on Dundee, saying that they've got a Premiership budget while they're in the Championship, saying that Dundee don't travel well, only one away game since December, won by Gary Bohr's side, and also that their budget is Division 1. Queen's Park's Division 1 budget, Dundee's Premiership budget. So Oney Coyle quietly turning the screw. Now all they have to do is win a football match.
Simple as that. And what an exciting climax it is, not only at the top but at the bottom. And we're also going into the first weekend of post-split fixtures, where there's all to play for as well in terms of European places. Again, really, really exciting what's going on at the bottom of the table in the Premiership as well. So all to look forward to.
Absolutely. 01419511025, that's the number you need, and we are desperate to hear from you on tonight's show, because there is so much happening. The championship takes centre stage tonight, and rightly so. If you're a fan of a championship team, you must be beside yourself with either excitement, dread, nervousness, maybe a combination of all three. So why not pick up the phone? This is your big night. But of course, if we look forward, Celtic fans, what are you thinking? Is this the weekend you wrap up the Premiership title? How do you think the team will look with the absence of Cameron Carter-Vickers, Alistair Johnson? There have been some injury updates on them. Rangers fans, very interesting stuff from Michael Beale today, confirming Malik Tillman's season is over. So quite simply, will we see him in a Rangers shirt again? What do you think? Will we see him play for Rangers again? He's gone back to Bayern for treatment. All week long, you've all been phoning this show and saying it's time to try something new between now and the end of the season. Move on a bit. Kent and Morelos, they're going to leave. What more can they bring? Well, Michael Beale says they do still have a part to play. Would you play them this weekend, or would you leave them out and give other guys a chance? There is so much going on tonight. So 0141 951 1025. Pick up that phone and let us know. I'm a bit sad about tonight, because it means after this I can't use that fact that I've been rhyming off for the last 10 days or so. 9 teams out of 10 still don't know what division they're going to be playing in, Kenny Miller. That to me was an exciting stat when there was 2 games to go. The fact that it's still the case when there's 1 game to go on a final night, when we have a proper head-to-head shootout for a title and promotion, it is remarkable.
If anybody had the insight to arrange this the way that it has, then they deserve all the plaudits, because it's an incredible situation we find ourselves in tonight. The both teams going for the league, playing each other in the final night. You've got things going on at the bottom league. Two teams could get relegated. They could be in the playoffs, they could be out of the playoffs, and you've got 4 teams fighting to try and get into these last 2 playoff spots. It's just an incredible night that's ahead of us in the championship.
There is one way where Wraith come into the conversation, because Wraith played Partick Thistle. Now, as you pointed out, there's nothing in it for Wraith. So how does that affect your performance level, your intensity level against Partick Thistle, where there's everything at stake for them?
A remarkable night, truly. So we'll give as much build up as we can to the championship. Remember, Dundee and Queen's Park can both win the league. They play each other. Partick, Ayr, Inverness, Morton, all going for a place in the playoffs, and Arbroath, Cove, Hamilton trying to survive and stay in the division. Unbelievable stuff. So 01419511025 if you are a fan of those teams, or maybe even a neutral who's looking forward to it. And in terms of the Premiership, today's news, Rangers fans, Malik Tillman out for the season. Have you seen him for the last time in a Rangers shirt? Yes or no? Morelos and Kent still have a part to play this season, according to Michael Beale. Is that the right idea, or is that something that, disappoints you? Would you rather see a few fringe players given more of a chance over the next few weeks? Celtic fans, you can win the title this weekend. It's been inevitable for a while, but it could all be done and dusted. How much are you looking forward to it? Do you think there will be any speed bumps along the way? And what will that team look like without some of your injured first choice defenders? 0141 951 1025. Looking forward to this weekend, Hugh, even beyond tonight.
Brilliant. Outside of Ibrox, Tynecastle is the toughest place for Celtic to play. I don't think you can lightly dismiss the loss of Cameron and Carter-Vickers and Alistair Johnson. Carter-Vickers was a colossus against Rangers last weekend. Johnson, as you know, has quickly become my favourite player. I think he's terrific. So I don't think you lightly dismiss the loss of those two at Tynecastle, but I think Celtic would like to go there and get it done. There would be so much build up to the game at Ibrox the week after if they didn't get it done at Tynecastle. I think Ange Postecoglou will go there and do what Ange Postecoglou always says, is play our football. And if Celtic play their football, they've done it before against Hearts this season, they're good enough to go there, win and take the title.
And we'll get into the specifics of Rangers, Kenny, and this, you know, Malik Tillman, Kent, Morelos, and all the names that we've been talking about all week. But just generally, it's a very interesting end to the season. I think we can agree on that. Not the end of the season Michael Beale or anyone connected with the club wanted. It's meaningless games, except they're not, because they never are. But there's nothing to play for, so it'll be really fascinating to see how that plays out.
Yeah, there's nothing to play for in terms of obviously trophies, league titles, but there's 15 points available, and I just think that these last five games are, listen, they're not going to shape how the mentality going into next season, but they can definitely finish off on a more positive note, particularly with the game next week. But they've had two losses against Aberdeen and against Celtic in the semi-final last week, Rangers, so there has to be a response. Even at this stage, when there's nothing really to play for, the Rangers can't be going three games without a win, four games without a win, or three straight losses. It's just not going to be acceptable. So I still think there's a lot to play for a Rangers' point of view in terms of trying to finish off as much a high note as they can. And for me, that's just going to win last five games.
To give you a straightforward answer to your straightforward question, I don't think we will see Malik Tillman again.
Well, there we go, Rangers fans. It's not often Hugh Keevans gets his predictions right, but you might agree with them on this one. I don't know. You tell us. 0141 951 1025. Will you see him again in a Rangers shirt? Should Kent and Morelos have a big part to play between now and the end of the season, as Michael Beale suggests? What else do you want to see shaking up, Celtic fans? How much are you looking forward to the chance to win the title? A lot happening in the top flight, but the Championship is also the place to be. Let's bring in Ethan, who's a Queen's Park fan. He's on a supporters bus right now, which makes me slightly nervous. How are you feeling, Ethan?
I think a wee bit apprehensive, to be honest. Obviously, our recent form has not been very good, I mean, as has Dundee's, but I mean, for Queen's Park to be a position where we might be winning the Championship and going into the Premiership, I mean, I'm absolutely buzzing for the game, but yeah, a lot of nervous energy on this bus.
I can imagine. I mean, just how exciting is it, Ethan? I mean, you mentioned nervousness and you might not be able to enjoy the game fully, but how exciting is it? Comes down to this, you know, a final game shootout, first against second, and the chance to go and win it. Would you ever have thought this was possible when you got promotion to the Championship?
Definitely not. I mean, the squad that we have not really strengthened a huge amount since we came fourth in League One last year. So this season, we, the Queen's Park fans, would have kind of settled for mid-table, a comfortable season in the Championship, and then maybe go for promotion in next year or the year after. So for us to go down to the last game of the season is a huge success for everyone at the club. And everyone's just buzzing to be at the point of maybe going up.
Yeah, the story's interesting to you because, look, we know that there is a good level of financial backing there. We know the infrastructure is good. It's impressive. You look at Leanne Dempster, you look at director of football or sporting director, whatever the title may be. But that said, it's not a proper, you know, it's not as if Queen's Park football budget on the first team, you know, was blowing everyone else out the water. And as Ethan says, I must admit that there was a point where I'd forgotten that they finished fourth in League One last season. You're not talking about, you know, someone who's romped their way through the divisions.
Yeah. For people of my generation, it's an unbelievable story, because the jolly old Queens, as they were always referred to, amateur status and not in the top flight for 65 years. But with Willie Hawkey's money and the good people involved, starting with the manager, then it's a tremendous story. I just wonder if the pressure is greater on Dundee because they must come up. They absolutely must come up. This is a stepping stone for Queen's Park. If they don't get the title tonight, then they'll be in the playoffs, maybe, and they have another chance. But I think Dundee must win the game, and maybe that would help Queen's Park out.
Is that the way it feels, Ethan? Does it feel like, you know, all the pressure is on Dundee, or once you get this close, is it kind of equal pressure anyway?
You make a good point there. It was really weird because I was going into last weekend's game against Morton almost hoping we lost, because I think going into this last game with the situation where we must win, it's almost a wee bit better than going into the game where thinking a draw could win us the title, because there's always the situation where you sit back and invite the opposition onto you and you end up inviting Dundee and they win the game. You go into this game with kind of nothing to lose. We might go and attack Dundee, and I mean, it's a one-off game. Of course we could do it.
I know what Ethan means, Kenny. I know what he means. You'd rather be top. You'd rather only need a point. But you do kind of get it, in the sense that for Queen's Park it's such a simple message: go and win that game. Go and win it, and you've won the title.
It is. Again, that's what you need to do. That's the job in front of you. Yeah, and you need to go and beat them. I'd much rather be in the case with a tougher safety net, that's for sure.
Ethan, the form against Dundee this season has not been great, but having said that, the two real disappointments have come at Dens. How do you see tonight going?
It depends what Ethan you're asking, to be honest. We've been pretty brutal against Dundee this season, but they're not a great side. I know a lot of people have said that the Championship's been quite a poor standard this year, and Dundee aren't any great shakes, and I think a good Queen's Park today have all the capabilities of beating this Dundee team. They've drawn four out of the last five, so yeah, I think it'll be a low scoring game. I think 1-0 Queen's Park. I think that's a positive result for us.
Ethan, you're up.
Ethan, I will let you go. Enjoy your night, and maybe we'll catch up with you if you've got a title to celebrate over the weekend.
Hopefully.
Good man. That was Ethan from Neilston on his way to the game. I think Ethan sounds nervous. I can sense the trepidation heading to this one. Like I said, you know, Dundee have beaten Queen's Park 3-0 twice at Dens. They've only met once in the league, where it was a home game for Queen's Park, and that one finished 2-2.
So listen, we go on all season long about this division, the Championship, being bonkers. So I am in a position where I think anything could happen tonight. I believe a Queen's Park win. I believe a Dundee win. I believe a draw for Dundee, and up they go. I would believe anything, because nothing about this league is straightforward.
Have you ever been, I mean, I would assume not, Kenny, but a proper last day title, head-to-head title decider? I don't even think I can remember.
Never.
Any, like, or many, though I'm sure there will be out there.
Yeah, listen, there will be situations. I've never been involved in any of the 24 years I was as a player. You've been in the last day title when you win or you draw or you're waiting on other results. Never in a head-to-head where it's a straight shootout. One team wins, they're up. The other team gets the draw or wins, they're up. It's an incredible climax to the season. It really is. And it's not just the top, like I've said. I mean, the whole playoff scenario, the bottom of the league and the intrigue surrounding it is. It's been, I mean, Hugh says it, bonkers.
Unbelievable. 01419511025. We'll hopefully bring you some coverage from Local View in the not too distant future. What about the Premiership, though, Rangers fans? Malik Tillman's out for the season. Will you see him again in a Rangers jersey? What's your gut telling you? Do Kent and Morelos have a part to play between now and the end of the season, as Michael Beale suggests? What else do you want to see in terms of changes between now and the end of the season? And Celtic fans, how much are you looking forward to what could be a title-winning weekend? Let us know, and we'll speak next. You are
are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Kenny Miller and myself have a massive headache because we just spent the break trying to run through every permutation of the championship, and I think we've sort of got there. I won't try and repeat them all to you because there's every chance I would make a mistake. But we know the script at the top. Dundee, a draw wins them the title. Queen's Park need to win, that wins them the title. The playoffs become a bit more complex. I mean, quite simply, Partick win the game against Raith and they're in the playoffs. If Ayr United win their game against Inverness, they're in the playoffs. And if Inverness beat Ayr, they're also in the playoffs. Are we keeping up so far?
You had me at hello.
It then gets a bit more complex because sixth place Morton could still do it, but they I can't believe we're going here. They're going to have to beat Cove. They're going to maybe hope that Partick lose, or Ayr and Inverness is a draw. Right, I'm tying myself in knots here. It yes. sounds simple to me, but if I was listening driving home, I'd be saying, right, let's slow down a bit here.
You've nailed it.
And then at the bottom, Hamilton Accies, it's playoffs at best, but you're looking to better Cove's result.
Playoffs at best unless they win 8-0.
Steady. Come on, now you're really confusing things. Remember that day, in fact, at the end of the season, it was Accies, it was 10-2 against Morton. Remember that? And they needed like something miraculous, and it just... Anyway, let's save that for later. 0141 951 1025. Lots more to come from the championship. But Rangers fans, we're about to hear from Michael Beale here. So very keen to get what you think. Much more important than what we think. Malik Tillman, have you seen him for the last time in a Rangers shirt? Yes or no? Let's try and be definitive about it. Kent and Morelos, should they play a big part on Sunday and going forward? Again, yes or no? Let us know. Here's what Michael Beale had to say first on the Malik Tillman injury update.
No, unfortunately, that's the end of Malik's season. He's got a hamstring injury. He's gone back to Bayern just for them to have a look as well. He's obviously had his scan and everything. It's a hugely sad ending to the season for him because he's obviously a fine young player and he's performed well for the club so far this season. Me and Malik are in a great place on a personal level. I think he's been brilliant for the club. I think he's been brilliant for me and my time here. He's a player that I think has got a really high ceiling. As high a ceiling as anyone that I've worked with in my time here at Rangers. There's areas of his game at 20 he certainly needs to brush up on, and that's why he's come on loan. We said we would park the conversation to the middle of May because there's a lot around it and you want to get to the end of the season, and Malik's got a say in this as well. Obviously the two clubs have been talking back and forth and there's agreements between them, but the most important person is Malik, and if Malik wants to be here in Glasgow, then it's something that we can make happen. And likewise if he's unsure, and that the conversation with me and Malik are great, we have a fantastic relationship, but we said we'd park it to the middle of May and nothing's changed on that.
William is a Rangers fan. Do you think you've seen the last of Malik Tillman in a Rangers shirt, William?
Hello Gordon, the two legends, Hugh and Kenny.
Hello.
Yeah, here's my point. I'll try and run through it quickly, Gordon. Right, Malik Tillman, I'm not wasting $5 million on him. Kieran Morelos, he should never play for Rangers again. Their contribution last week was shocking. We effectively played with nine men against Celtic last week in that cup semi final. And I said to the producer, when we play Celtic in probably September time next season, I like to think our front four will be different. We're two wingers, we're main striker. And we'll get a better number 10 anyway in Lawrence if he gets fully fit. I wonder if we know what Kenny should think of that one.
William, the line's a bit dodgy. I can hear you, but I think we'll try and get it cleared up. There was a lot of ground covered. Very simply, will you see Malik Tillman play for Rangers again, Kenny?
I don't think so. I think it'll not be for Michael's will to try. I think.
So you think Rangers want to?
It sounds that way. And I think when you jump back a few months, there was talk of triggering that option, that they wanted to pursue a potential deal to keep him at the club. I just see, again, Michael said it, I think the boy might see his future maybe elsewhere. That would be my gut instinct on it. Again, that's without any information, or I just think that, yep, I think he might fancy somewhere else.
And would Rangers be right in your mind to want to keep him?
I think it's a big chunk of money, to be honest. I've said it, and I've not changed my opinion on it as yet. I think he's a wonderful player. Michael sees him every day and he talks about the potential that he's got, the ceiling and things that he could accomplish. I just think it's a lot of money for Rangers to be shelling out if it's $5 million.
You suggested earlier, Hugh, that you don't think you'll see him in a Rangers shirt again. So same sort of questions to you. A, because you don't think Rangers will or should pay that money, or you think Rangers would and Malik Tillman would choose not to? Do you see what I mean?
I'd love to hear Tillman's observations on Scottish football. He might get back to Munich and think, no, I'll stick to the Bundesliga, thank you very much. I don't think he's delivered in big games, and that has caused fans like William to have their doubts about him. There are too many imponderables, and the disproportionately large sum of money taken out of Rangers' budget, I think, would be working against Malik Tillman staying.
I mean, it doesn't sound like, certainly publicly, Michael Beale's buying any of this stuff, though, about, you know, big games, or he certainly sounds like if it was up to him and money was no object and Malik Tillman wanted to stay, it would happen, Kenny. He says he's got as high a ceiling as anyone he's worked with at Rangers, so he clearly likes him a lot.
I think that's there for everybody to see. Again, he's played him constantly. So it's again, I think by the sounds, and it's not just been this week, previous weeks, previous months, he's talked about how high he regards Malik Tillman. And I get it, I think we can all see the ability that he's got, we can all see his physical attributes and his technical ability, but you say that, and he's 20, you know, he is 20, so you've got to take that into consideration. But in the big games where 20 or no 20, I mean, you look at Jude Bellingham, what he's doing at 19 in the game, and I know I'm not making that comparison, but this is a 19-year-old who's been doing it since he was 18. So Malik Tillman's no hit the big games, the impact that any Rangers fan would want, particularly one that's maybe going to cost the club £5 million.
And then we get to the biggest intrigue of all, Kent and Morelos.
Well, William says no more, yeah. Just call it quits here.
Well, first of all, Kent was taken off last week, not because of injury reasons, simply because he was doing nothing, and they took him off at half time. Morelos might as well have gone with him at half time for all the use he was, but he's got Aberdeen on Sunday, Michael Beale. He can't just discard everyone. He needs to get a result in that game.
Well, let me play you the answer on Kent and Morelos, because again, themes develop, don't they, on social media and on these phones, for instance. I'm not saying everybody wants to see Kent and Morelos not play again, but it does feel like there's a call for it to be freshened up a bit. Is there any need for them to play if they are going to leave, as Michael Beale suggested last week after the game? Here's what he had to say today.
Yeah, of course they do. They've been two fantastic players for the club, you know, and both represented the club very well, been important players for a number of years. In terms of their situation, there's nothing to speak about really big outside, other than we've had the conversations inside, we're mutually in the same place of what should happen. We haven't come forth with a contract offer for either, and both of those have been free to speak to other clubs for a while now. So, but in terms of the next five games, they're Rangers players, and they'll continue to be so until anything's announced officially.
People keep saying of Morelos, one big performance before you go. Certainly wasn't against Celtic last weekend. Could they do it against Aberdeen on Sunday, or will everyone go back to the Celtic game when Celtic go to Ibrox and say, one big performance before you go? People keep looking for this one big performance, and it never materialises.
And it's done anyway now, Hugh. That big performance is no required anymore. It was required last week, or it was required a month ago in the final. You know, it's now big. It's a bit of a contradiction when I'm saying there's still points to be won, and you need to go and win the five games. But the big performance needed to be in the semi-final. The big performance needed to be in the final. You know, so even if it does come next week at Ibrox against Celtic, great. He might play a part or help play in the. He plays part in the team getting a win, but really, what does it mean?
What do you think then in terms of how much? I mean, should they stay in the team this weekend? Do you think we'll see them regularly or a lot in the next five games?
My question would be out there to any answer: who plays instead of Morelos, for instance?
Well, let's ask William. William, have you got guys that you want to see given a chance, or do those players in question have to stay in the team?
Well, the last five games, Gordon Wright, you definitely try McCrory in goals, right? Matondo, you give him a chance. Hadji's there, your boy Wright, I don't know if he's fit. Sakala, he missed an absolute sitter last week, but I think he's the only thing we've got left at the moment. I'm not dismissing Kent Morelos entirely. We wouldn't have gone to the European final with him, and we wouldn't have stopped 10 in a row, but come on, Gordon and Hugh and Kenny. Last week, they were dreadful. They were a disgrace to Rangers. Michael Beale says he's picking the best team. How can picking the best team, and they two are absolutely wrong last week.
That's it, though. That's the question, though, William. That's exactly it. Yeah, they were poor, and I think most Rangers fans are now looking at them and thinking, hey, what they've done this season. Things Michael said, that they've been big players for the club in the past, you know. Now I just don't know if they've got the players in the building, particularly now Tillman being injured as well, who you're thinking, hey, maybe could you throw him up front as like a false type nine and get guys round about him. One of the guys probably would be Kent, unless you're taking Kent out of the team as well. My question would be, what would happen if Michael made these four or five changes to the team and won one game out of these last five? Like, the pressure's going to build. There's a fine line between doing what maybe fans are demanding, which is, again, yep, they've maybe have played their last game, or they should be used sparingly, but you've still got to balance up with winning games.
Suppose the question would be, though, by taking Kent and Morello, and I take the point, particularly if Cholak's not available, right? I get that, but just generally, by taking Kent and Morelos out of the team now, are you actually seriously diminishing your chances of winning? I think that's where a lot of fans are coming from now, aren't they?
No, that's exactly where they're coming from, because ultimately they've not been performing. So you've got to think that if somebody else was there, somebody else who maybe wants to be there, and somebody who's going to be there next year, they might try a bit harder, they might be able to produce something. But, you know, Michael's seen these guys. He's no stupid. He's a good coach. He's a proper football man. He's seen these guys. If he felt they were better served to play in the team, he would pick them.
Be interesting, Hugh, because, like, as we've said before, if Rangers going to lose more games, it's already saying the title's done already. That would bring an angry reaction for sure. Would they? Let me just paint a random hypothetical scenario. If Rangers were to drop points against Aberdeen without Kent and Morelos in the team, would that bring Michael Beale less heat than if they dropped points against Aberdeen with Kent and Morelos in the team?
It would get heat anyway.
But would it be different? Would there at least be this, like, okay, they're trying things for next season and it hasn't worked? If he was to go to the well again this weekend with Kent and Morelos and it wasn't to end up in a maximum points haul,
people will blame Michael Beale
for playing them again.
Yes, without doubt. And if he plays them and they win against Aberdeen, he'll get no credit.
It's kind of a no-win situation, in some regards.
But you know, we're spoken about Tillman, Kent, Morelos. Michael Beale's in this equation because people are now looking at Michael Beale. There's never a meaningless game for Rangers or Celtic. So these last five games, people, the Rangers fans, William on the line, they're looking at Michael Beale. And if they don't like what they see, they'll let us and him know about it.
Let's bring in James in Postle Park. James, what's your gut telling you? Have you seen the last of Malik Tillman in a Rangers shirt?
No, good evening, panel. Good evening, Gordon. No, I don't think we have. I think the Rangers will be looking into maybe extending the loan rather than paying £5 million to keep him next season. I don't think they've actually been having to shell out any money. I think that's what the club, maybe the clubs have agreed on, because I'd love to see him back at the club.
It's an interesting one. I've never really seen it mentioned as an option, Hugh, which just leads me to think it's not one, but it could be entirely wrong.
I don't think Bayern Munich are up for that at all. They want to do business here. Do you want him or not? Are you willing to pay £5 million or not? That's the kind of response that Rangers will get. Now you've got Michael Beale telling you that he's the best player at Ibrox, best young player at Ibrox.
Well, I think he means best potential. When he talks about ceiling, he's trying to say he feels that in the end up Malik Tillman could amount to more than any player he's worked with yet.
Well, if that's the case, you'll need to pay. I just think, for one reason and one reason alone, he's too expensive.
I can get why James comes up with that scenario, Kenny, because James clearly likes him a bit, but doesn't necessarily think, you know, you would pay the £5 million. But then again, is it really likely? Is Malik Tillman going to come on a 2-year loan from Bayern Munich to Rangers?
Again, that's a question for Malik Tillman, because I'll tell you, James has put an option there which I think becomes a better prospect for Rangers, because they don't need to shell the money. They get the player, the manager gets the player that he likes.
Would you agree with that? It's never really
I've never, and anytime he's been talked about, it's always been this option, and they're looking to trigger it, and the clubs are talking. Maybe the clubs have been talking, because that is an option that no one has really discussed, but that would be a far more suitable option for me for Rangers.
I want to try and dig deeper into James's opinion on it. So James, though, if you've come up with a scenario, let's say it's not the case, would you pay £5 million for him? Would you?
Yeah, well, what even if they looked into the extent that the year gets extended, and if he plays even better, then maybe there's an agreement in place he comes for even more than $5 million.
I get all this, right, but I don't mean to, I'm not deliberately trying to make you answer one way or another. I'm just curious because most of the discussion has been, will Rangers pay $5 million or not? I just want to know what you think of that. Would you pay $5 million for him right now?
Not right now, no.
No,
because I do think we need other players, and that money could be spent. Yeah.
Michael Beale keeps talking about it.
If he had made an extension, then I think it'd be good for the boy as well. But again, he's got probably have other options. But
Michael Beale keeps talking about the scale of the rebuild, and he said it would be the biggest rebuild for many years. That will cost money. And if £5 million goes on someone that you're not entirely sure of...
But it sounds like Michael Beale is, though, Hugh. That's the point. You might not be, James might not be, Kenny, myself.
But we'll go back to the
sounds like Michael Beale is, though.
Yeah, but we'll go back to the word potential. You said to me when I talked about that Michael Beale saying the highest ceiling, and you're saying, with regard to his potential, what if the potential is not realised?
I agree. I'm talking about the way it seems Michael Beale feels about the player.
I just think the money gets in the way all the time, and I don't think that Bayern Munich are in the habit of giving out players on 2-year loans. Bayern want, do you want them or not? And I think that's their approach to it.
Then the other question, James, because depending what stage it gets to, Michael Beale was very clear there that Malik Tillman plays quite an important role in this. Do you think he would want to sign permanently for Rangers this summer?
I think Malik Tillman would want to, but if it was permanently, and Rangers, if the boy wanted to sign permanently, I think Rangers would take that option. I think they would.
Well, Michael Beale certainly sounds like he would, that's for sure. Thanks to James in Postle Park, 01419511025. It's going to be a very busy night because we need to get some team news and previews of an incredible night in the Championship. And I want to hear from you, Celtic fans. How are you feeling? Could be title winning weekend. Let us know.
41951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we have in store. There will be no reruns of Willie Nelson at Glastonbury in the Keevans household tonight, because there is a lot of football happening, a very important Championship football at that. Can he wait? Can Willie wait till tomorrow?
We've had our fill, because we had Manu Brighton on last night.
And I knew that going in your house.
Granny was very excited by the penalty kick.
I can imagine. A nice late finish. Let's see what tonight brings, though. Let's go to Oakleview, just in case, I don't know, in case you don't keep up with these things. That is where Queen's Park play their home games. Dundee the visitors tonight. And of course, it is all to play for, to win the title and join the top table of Scottish football. Andrew McLean is there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the most incredible Championship season, really, when you look at the table going into this final night of action. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible end to it as well. It almost seemed like the title that nobody wanted to win, because both these teams have really been stuttering towards the finish line. But it's in sight now. And how exciting is this? Having a winner takes all clash. Dundee, of course, in the driving seat as a draw would see them clinch the title and gain automatic promotion to the Premiership. But of course, if it's a win for Dundee, they go up. If it's a win for Queen's Park, they go up. Dundee, you'd say they've been the favourites really since the start of the season. I'm not sure how many would have predicted Queen's Park would be in this position before a ball was kicked, though. A chance for a third consecutive promotion, that would be quite incredible for them. Probably beyond what anyone at the club thought was possible when they decided to change from being an amateur side for the first time in their history. There will be a good crowd here tonight as well, partly because of the SPFL. They had to get involved, a bit of a ticket debacle. Queen's Park initially only gave Dundee 400 tickets. They complained to the governing body. The SPFL judged that it should be given at least 1,000, so there will be a huge travelling support in for this one. But away from ticket debates and stuttering form and all that type of stuff, this is the type of night that every single football fan absolutely loves. It's going to be a tense 90 minutes, but one of these sides will be lifting the Championship title at full time, and know for certain that they will be in the top flight come next season. I'll give you some team news. I actually don't think we've got any team news from Queen's Park as of yet, so I will give you that shortly when it comes through. As for Dundee, they are unchanged from last weekend when they drew against Cove Rangers. So it is Adam Langsdon in goal for them. The back four is going to be Josh Mulligan, Ryan Sweeney, Lee Ashcroft and Jordan Marshall, within a midfield four of Luke McCowan, Barry Maguire and Lyle Cameron, and the two up top, Alex Jakubiak and Zach Robinson. The substitutes for them, Lawler, Kerr, Byrne, Thomas, McMullen, Williamson, Fisher, Clampin and Reedy. As I said, I will get the Queen's Park team to you as soon as I have it.
There we are. That sums up the fairy tale. We're potentially staring at a team who doesn't even announce the starting lineup on Twitter under an hour to go before kickoff coming into the top flight, Hugh. What more do you need to know?
Trying anything to confuse Gary Boyer.
Come on.
I think that's against the laws, is it? No, the team's not
It'll be in, it's just not on social media, I assume. Not out there yet for Andrew, which is a real shame. But
I hope there's not another administrative bombshell there.
No, that would be less than ideal. But we're looking forward to it. Andrew is there, going to soak it all in and keep us up to speed in the build-up. What about elsewhere in the table? Thomas is a Morton fan. Can you do it, Thomas?
Earlier on in the day, I would have said yes, but I've got a bad feeling about it now.
That's what days like this do to you, because what's changed?
The only thing that's putting me off is the results we've had against the bottom half of the table this year. You look at our growth at Capello on the Tuesday night, where we absolutely battered them for 90 minutes, but Derek Gaston had a world day of a game. We've went unbeaten against Queen's Park and Dundee this season, but it's the results against teams around us and teams below us that have let us down.
Well, now remember, again, to paint the picture, Morton are outside the playoffs. They're sixth, so they're the lowest team that can make the playoffs. If they win the game, they would need to win it. So they win the game and then hope that Partick Thistle lose to Raith Rovers, or hope that Ayr and Inverness draw. I think that's pretty much the main way of looking at it.
It's a one-off shootout. Now, Cove are second bottom, a point above Hamilton Accies for one reason. They're rotten. And you then have to take in...
But Thomas is telling you, yeah, the rotten teams have caused them problems.
But Thomas is also telling us that they've beaten Queen's Park and they've beaten Dundee. Morton have nothing to fear against Cove.
It's not like you to look on the bright side of things.
I just think, you know, I hate all the ifs, buts, maybes arguments. Just give it to you straight between the eyes. Cove are rotten. And Morton aren't.
I know, but then they still need other things potentially, Kenny. That's the difficulty.
I think if they win, if they can win the game, I'm going to say they'll get in.
Right, okay.
I'm going to say they'll get in.
Thomas, you do go in decent form though. What is it, 3 wins, 2 draws in the last 5? I think Thistle have the same record actually in the last 5, but that give you a bit of hope.
Yes, I think we've had a good patch, a good time, of course, but I think there's just, as I said, there's been too many bad patches throughout the season. Didn't start off great. We had that bad spell at Christmas time as well, obviously, when we went sort of, I think it was 6 weeks without a home game, and it was our home form that was really carrying us through. But I think if it wasn't for them daft results against the bottom half of the table, we could have been further up the table fighting tonight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's all potential and it's not happened, but
hey-ho. I'll give you another half an hour, Thomas. I think you'll change your mind again. You'll be confident. Enjoy your night if you can, Thomas, a Morton fan. It's happening all across that division. Spare a thought for Raith Rovers fans. They've got nothing to play for, but everybody else does. Back to the top flight we go. Tom is a Rangers fan. What's the priority to Sunday and for the next 5 games, Tom? Anything you'd like to see?
Good evening, Gordon, Kenny and Hugh.
Hi, Tom.
What I was wanting to say is, on starting the Sunday against Aberdeen, I would give Robbie McCrory a chance in goal, because I think if they want to get, let's say, sign a goalkeeper, Robbie McCrory is supposed to be pretty good.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he's not played much for Rangers, but it's certainly going to be that's going to be a talking point, Kenny. Rightly or wrongly, because Michael Beale said months ago that he would give Robbie McCrory a chance before the end of the season. And here we are with, not meaningless, we know that, but far less meaningful games than they might have been.
Yeah, he might get a game. He might get a game at some point. I don't think he'll get a game against Aberdeen. I don't think he'll get a game against Celtic.
Right. So running out of time then to give him any meaningful run.
I don't know who the last game's against. I can't remember. But Alan McGregor's got to be playing in what could potentially be his last game. So there's a wee window of 2 games where he could maybe get. So again, and that might depend on how these next 2 results go.
I mean, Hughie was asked today again about Robbie McCrory, and might just be me. I feel Michael Beale, I think he is. he's getting a bit frustrated now come the end of the season. His answers are not as expansive as they once were. Maybe that's just my amateur psychology reading of things. But he just kind of said he's fit and available to get a chance.
Sunday's too important. Rangers can't afford to lose three games on the spin. He won't get a game against Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, when do you play these people, though?
But
by the way, if you're the one that said he's going to get a chance,
I understand, but you are also the one that's going to get it in the neck if anything goes wrong against Aberdeen and or Celtic. So he doesn't play against Aberdeen, he doesn't play against Celtic, and after the Celtic game, psychologically, all of the Rangers fans have switched off. They don't care what happens in the last three games.
Some might have switched off already.
Well, no, I don't think so. Not entirely, because they want one last go at Celtic to see if they can get a win, because they're fed up. It's monotonous. Every time they play Celtic, the Celtic fans say Celtic didn't play particularly well, but won. And the Rangers fans say, oh, we were close and so forth, but they still haven't managed to beat Celtic. So Robbie McCrory doesn't get a look in on Sunday. It's too important. Or against Celtic. But the three after that, he'll play in all of them, I think.
Didn't Robbie McCrory keep a... Was it a clean sheet he kept in a...
Except in Old Firm,
in
yeah.
an Old Firm yeah, game did, previously? Yeah. Is that worth bearing in mind? Would it be that big a deal?
Aye. I think so. There's another question here, right? Michael has to think that Robbie McCrory is going to be good enough to be the Rangers' number one. Otherwise, there's no point in playing him. And that's because this is not an 18-year-old goalkeeper we're talking about. This is a guy that's 25. So if Michael Beale believes he's got a future to potentially be the number... Like, I'm saying be the number one in the future. Would that not have happened by now?
And the 25-year-old is also reading about Jack Butland.
Correct.
Well, that said then, again, if Michael Beale, he set the parameters here. I have no offence to Robbie McCrory, absolutely... No feelings on whether he should or should not, but if Michael Beale has set that stall out earlier in the season, a home game against Aberdeen, which is far less important than it could have been, what would the big deal be?
I don't disagree with you. I'm coming at it from the other direction. I think the 25-year-old should have asked himself a long, long time ago, isn't it time I get out and get regular first-team football?
And again, you know, maybe similar to the Kent Morelos debate, I am not saying, for the avoidance of doubt, Robbie McCrory's as good as Alan McGregor, but do you wildly diminish Rangers' chances of getting something against Aberdeen by playing McCrory instead of McGregor?
If there's a big save and a big moment to be made, then the answer's got to be, it's got to be yes, because Alan McGregor's done it for years and he's done it this season as well, and it might be his last. So it does diminish.
I think Robbie McCrory's been out of the public eye for so long, how do any of us know what he'd look like now?
Only one way to find out. That would be the point, wouldn't it? Anyway, thank you, Tom. Very quickly, let's get that Queen's Park team that we couldn't get a minute ago.
Yeah, I don't even think they've tweeted it out yet, but I do have a team sheet. They are unchanged from that defeat to Morton last weekend. Callum Ferry starts in goal. The back four, Marcel Oakley, Lee Kilday, Charlie Fox and Tommy Robson. The two holding midfielders, Jack Thompson and Malachi Boateng. It's then Josh McPake, Grant Savory and Dom Thomas in behind Connor Shields. The substitutes, Herity, Longridge, Henderson, Davidson, Moore, Healy, Bannon, Jarrett and Eze. The referee at Oakview tonight is David Munro.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Always like a Friday night. It's the chance to round off the week. You can take on Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller. You get the signed ball, you get the bragging rights. That's if you win. And don't forget, just like we've done all week, even if you get through and stink the place out, you're still getting your pair of tickets. And this is a good one for Celtic fans. And even if you're not a Celtic fan, you will know one, and you will then be a popular friend or relative. An unforgettable experience at the SEC Armadillo, Friday 12th of May. It's a tribute to Wim Jansen and Celtic's 97-98 team. It marks the 25th anniversary of stopping Rangers winning 10 in a row. A lot of the big hitters from that season will be there on the night, and you get your pair of tickets just by coming on Beat the Pundit, even if you're rubbish. So there we go. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. As lively a Friday night as they come, because it is a sensational end to the Championship season. 9 teams out of 10, all with something to play for at the top, middle and bottom of the league. So we're building up to them. We've already been to Oakle View. Big weekend as the post-split fixtures kick off. We've had a good debate so far with Rangers fans. Have you seen Malik Tillman for the last time in a Rangers jersey or not? What would you do with Kent and Morelos between now and the end of the season? So if you want to keep going on those topics, you can. Celtic fans, now would be the perfect time for you to step up, because we're about to hear from Ange Postecoglou. So how are you feeling ahead of a potential title winning weekend? What do you think the team will look like? Is it pretty simple? Are you looking at Ralston and Kobayashi coming in? Does that weaken you to the extent where you think Sunday could be difficult, or do you expect it all to be wrapped up this weekend? Let us know and we will speak to you once we finish this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking forward to this with Stephen in Motherwell. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good.
Now, it says here, Stephen, you're a Rangers fan. Are you going to go along to the unforgettable experience with Wim Janssen's Celtic team, or will you just donate them to a pal?
Absolutely no chance.
I thought you might say that, but you never know. You can give them away as a birthday gift or something to someone. They'll go to good use, I'm sure. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevan. Stephen plays. And tails, it will be Kenny Miller. So let's find out how it goes. And it is tails. It's Kenny up against Stephen from Motherwell. Does that suit you, Stephen?
Aye, it suits me.
Fine, man, a few words. Let's see if he's got a good few words for us on Beat the Pundit. Kenny, I'm going to give you some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so that you can't hear us. And Stephen, that means it's just you and I. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you don't know the answer, pass, and we'll move on to the next one. All right?
Sorted, mate.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock then, and your time starts now. Apart from Celtic, how many teams have beaten Rangers in the league this season?
Three.
Who joined Celtic from MK Dons in January 2022?
Matt O'Reilly.
Graham Shinney's brother plays for which other Scottish top flight team? Who did Gary Bowyer replace as Dundee manager?
Mark McGee.
Who won Serie A last night?
Napoli.
Which Scotland manager had a better win rate, Craig Brown or Gordon Strachan?
Gordon Strachan.
Which English Premier League side play their home games at the Vitality Stadium? Okay, let's bring back Kenny Miller. Okay, there's about 14 of them helping each other out there. You're a baller here. It was a team effort. Are you ready?
Yep.
Time starts now. Same questions. Let's go. Apart from Celtic, how many teams have beaten Rangers in the league this season?
Two.
Who joined Celtic from MK Dons in January 2022?
O'Reilly.
Graham Shinney's brother plays for which other Scottish top flight side?
Livingston.
Who did Gary Bowyer replace as Dundee manager?
Mick Pake.
Who won Serie A last night?
Napoli.
Which Scotland manager had a better win rate, Craig Brown or Gordon Strachan?
Gordon Strachan.
Which English Premier League team play their home games at the Vitality Stadium?
Pass.
Who won the Scottish Championship at the end of the 2020-2021 season?
Dundee.
Okay, Stephen, what do you think?
Miles Affitt.
Who's giving you support in the background?
I've got a couple of my pals.
You going to name and shame them?
Absolutely not. Wee Barra
and Stephen. I thought they did all right, to be fair. Kenny, you sounded confident as well.
I got Bournemouth Vitality.
Yeah. Apart from Celtic, Stephen, I know you're a Rangers fan. You've probably tried to forget about these. It was Aberdeen and St Johnston. So that's two, not three. Kenny Miller goes one in front. Matt O'Reilly joined from MK Dons. You both got that. Stephen did that thing where he knew he was wrong on the next one because he knows Inverness are not in the top flight. But Livy are 3-1 to Kenny. Stephen and his mates, though, good shout. Mark McGee before Gary Bowyer. Aye. At Dundee. Yep. Remember, he was taking his kit off and.
Does it count? Because he was in the stand. I don't care what made it in the dugout.
What was it? He's heating. That was it, wasn't it?
He was going to run around naked if he won.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it was Mark McGee. So 3-2. Good game. You both got Napoli. You both got Gordon Strachan. You could have equalised, Stephen. And you know it wasn't Leicester because I heard you say it. You know it was not Leicester. It is Bournemouth. But that was the end of the road for the guys there. So Kenny wins it. It was actually Hearts who won the championship in that season. But it was a 5-4 for Kenny Miller. Hardline, Stephen.
No bad.
At least you've got the big night out to the Celtic event to cheer you up.
I'm sure I'll be going to that.
Tumbleweed. Thank you, Stephen. And friends. Stephen featuring friends. From Motherwell. So there we are. 0141 951 1025. If you want to play next week. Celtic fans, we're about to hear from Ange Postecoglou. What are you thinking then? Are you nervous at all about the weekend? Are you totally expecting to wrap up the title? What will the team look like? All the usual stuff. Anyone out there who would secretly rather wait and win it at Ibrox? I don't know, Hugh Keevans. This part of the footballing world works in funny ways.
Only one caller in the last couple of weeks who said that he would rather Celtic forfeited the points at Tynecastle and then went to Ibrox. But the day Ange Postecoglou is asked not to win a football match is the day Ange calls Qantas and makes a booking for 4 tickets, one for Mrs. Postecoglou and 2 for the boys and 1 for himself, and goes home.
So you've not got some scenario where Celtic drop points at Tynecastle, but they kick off, do they kick off 15 minutes earlier? Then Rangers get that news, chuck the game against Aberdeen just so that the inevitable can't happen the following week.
Michael Beale, same for him. He dials British Rail and goes back down to London.
Let's hear from Ange Postecoglou, shall we? A couple of things on his mind ahead of a big weekend. Celtic fans, I know you don't mind keeping that company, so we'll hear from the manager. Why not get your calls into us right now? How are you feeling about potentially winning the title this weekend?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, the lads now, this group of players have sort of experienced this kind of build-up to a big game, you know, the last sort of 20-odd months. And, you know, obviously we were in this position last year and, you know, played a couple of cup finals and, you know, a couple of cup semi-finals. So they know they're in the big games. There's always a bit of excitement and hype around them, and they know that there's, you know, outcomes that can be pretty special at the end of it, but they've been pretty good at just being focused to playing our football. And, you know, they're human beings. They know what's at stake and they know what the potential of a positive result is. So they'll take that into the game, but within that context, they'll still, you know, I think their focus will be clear on we've got to play our football. It's a difficult place to play. Their, you know, hearts have got, you know, plenty to play for. So, you know, the beauty of it is if we do it, we're going to have to earn it, and it's the only way you want to do it.
Kenny, how exciting is it as a player when you know you go into a game, win it, you win the league? What's that feeling like?
It's incredible, it really is. I mean, I've done it a few games to go. I've done it on the last day of the season. It's, you know what, that's what you start at the start of the season. You want to win the league when you're Rangers Celtic. When you eventually got over the line, and it is the hardest thing to do because there is still even pressure at this stage. You still need to go and get the job done. In the nature of the split, you are playing the better teams in the league. But I just can't see Celtic not getting over the line tomorrow. They've been outstanding all season, playing some scintillating stuff, and it's I can't see it getting past tomorrow.
I think I was going to ask you if it gives you an extra incentive or an extra spring in your step, but you can kind of detect from Ange Postecoglou there, they kind to go about their business that way all the time. I mean, is there anything left? Is there anything left to add extra when you've got a title for this team?
You would expect not, because I think if there is, then Ange would be demanding it every single day in training and any time they come up against any level of opposition. So they've had a great season. Only Inverness now can stop them getting a treble. So it's I expect the league to be done tomorrow, and it's been well earned.
You have to do Celtic by the numbers. They've had one loss in 33 league games this season. The season before, they had 3 losses in 38 league games. In other words, they've lost 4 times in their last 71 league matches. And that's what will take them through at Tynecastle. Unbelievable consistency. Kobayashi, I would expect, would take the place of Cameron Carter-Vickers. Anthony Ralston will fit in for Alistair Johnson. And then our football will come into play. The phrase that Ange Postecoglou always uses, our football. Now, I would never dismiss Hearts. Lauren Shankland is having a phenomenal season, looking for goal-scoring records at Tynecastle. Josh Ginnelly, the great players that they have. I just think that Celtic, based on what Kenny just said there, go out, win it, and you're champions. I think that will sustain them.
I mean, look, we've had this discussion a couple of times on the show this season. This is a compliment to Celtic. It's because they're so good, it's because they're relentless, that you go searching for possibilities of what might not work out, because you know what Celtic are going to do, and you know they're heavy favourites. That never changes. One thing though, for all the, you know, the interchange of sort of Abada, Jota, Maeda, Haksabanovic, maybe even Hatate, O'Reilly, Moy, the back four has been really quite consistent. Does it risk anything at all having to play Ralston and presumably Kobayashi rather than Johnston and Carter-Vickers due to injury?
Well, there's two sides to it. You know, Kobayashi played at Kilmarnock a few weeks back, and Ange says it's potentially some of the best stuff that they've played on a really tough surface as well, by the way. The other side of it is, the only game they lost, Carter Vickers wasn't playing. So I think he's a loss, there's no doubt about it, because he's had an outstanding season. He is, I mean, I thought he was absolutely monstrous at the back for Celtic last week in the cup semi-final. And it's a game, they've clearly just said, you know what, if you can play in this and help and play your part and get us over the line, that's you. You're done for the season. And that's the way the way it's went. And he was outstanding. So, I know what you're saying. You start to look, oh, well, if he's missing, yep. Ralston's been in and done it as well. Yep. He's popped up with big goals. He clearly loves the club. He gives absolutely everything. He's adapted to the role that Ange expects for his fullbacks pretty well as well. So, again, you talk about the Celtic squad, like for like's been used a lot. Mm-hmm. There might be minimal differences between here or there, and it might be a technical ability, it might be a physical ability. Again, I just don't think it matters the way they go about their business.
We've only seen Kobayashi four times, Hugh, and actually one of them was at Tynecastle, wasn't he? He replaced Carl Starfelt at half time in that was the cup game, wasn't it? The 3-0. So, you know, he's got experience there as well. Everybody knows what the atmosphere will be like in a footballing arena like that. So I don't think there'll be no surprises to see him in there, will there?
No, but based on his age and his experience, or the lack of it, he's not as good as Cameron Carter-Vickers. And Anthony Ralston, who has been a tremendous story under Ange Postecoglou, because his Celtic career looked to be over and done with, but he has excelled under Ange Postecoglou, but he's not as good a player as Alistair Johnson. Therefore, you start two good players down, and Kobayashi has to show that he was worth the money, and Anthony Ralston has to show that by playing him, you are not diminishing the team.
And to be fair, Kenny, Carl Starfelt, very good at Hampden last week, hasn't put much of a foot wrong recently, but it would give him an opportunity to go to the right of the back pairing, which you would assume suits him better. And you know, you mentioned Carter Vickers was missing the only league game Celtic lost, but that day it was Ralston and Welsh and Jens that played, so that would be different as well. They think, a couple of weeks ago I can ask this, will this suit Carl Starfelt more? Now it feels maybe not as important, because he was very good in the left side for the last few weeks anyway.
Well, he's been very good since his partnership with Carter Vickers was established. You know, they've been a wonderful pairing. He was probably the one of the two you thought, oh, I think you can get at him, but you're right to point out he's barely put a foot wrong in the 2 years that he's been alongside Carter Vickers. So, I mean, the thing about Carter Vickers is, you can say the other guys were missing at that time as well, but were the other guys as influential as him? The answer to that is no. So it'll be a loss, but again, they coped with that loss a few weeks back when they were at Kilmarnock, and like you say, they were 4-0 up after, what was it, 27 minutes. So it might not be too much of a loss if Celtic go about their business, again, to quote Ange and Hugh, and play our football.
Well, let's hear from Ange Postecoglou on Cameron Carter-Vickers and the injury situation. Alistair Johnson, of course, was in crutches as well, dancing about quite the thing, it must be said, on the crutches last week. But this is the update from Ange Postecoglou. What do you think, Celtic fans, about the weekend?
Yeah, Ali, obviously, like I said, he got a significant knock. We'll see at the moment. There's still a chance he'll be available before the end of the season, but it'll be sort of a week-by-week thing, and, we'll see how he goes. Obviously, Cameron will be out till start of next season. He's already had the surgery, and, the reports that it went really well, and he should be right for the start of the season next year to begin the season, which is great news for us. As I said last week, it's something he's carried, for quite a significant part of this year, but he was really keen to play, particularly up until last weekend, knowing sort of, the consequences and what that game meant for our season. It's fair to say he hasn't been able to train at the levels he wants to and sometimes perform, but he's never used it as a clutch or an excuse. And it was outstanding for us this year. And it's great for him now that he can sort of get a scene to and know that starting next season, he'll be ready to go.
Well, that's the update, and the fans will be happy. They think that Alistair Johnson will be back before the end of the season, and Carter Vickers will be there for the start of next season, because there were reports that he might not be ready for the start of the season. That's the update. What's important now is, how does Kobayashi cope from the start, besides Starfelt, who, as every Celtic supporter knows, is sometimes someone on the park who's got a real mistake in him. And Anthony Ralston will be Anthony Ralston, and he'll take the place of Alistair Johnson. But you don't lose Alistair Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers and say that's fine.
Yeah, interesting update certainly from Ange Postecoglou. Kenny, Cameron Carter-Vickers, it says quite a lot about him that he's gone for a knee op, what was it, a day or a couple of days after performing like that at Hampden.
Yeah, that was it again. That tells you everything, a little insight of what's actually going on inside Lennox Town and Celtic Park at the moment, when you've got players who know they need to get a knee operation. Again, it's not a run of the mill. Again, I don't know exactly what the operation or the problem is, but if it's like a hernia type operation, you kind of get by. It's clearly been something he's thought, no, Ange touched on it. That how monumental that game is and what it meant for the season and what it would potentially lead to. He's wanted to play, he wanted to put himself out there, and you know what, he's put it out there, himself out there to be shot at, because there's no excuses to be made in those games. Had he made a mistake and it might have been injury related, nobody would have wanted to listen if that had cost Celtic, but it was absolutely outstanding, as it has been all season. And again, we've talked about it many times on these shows over the year, or the last few months for sure. His name will be mentioned when the player of the year comes about, yeah, probably alongside another couple of his teammates.
I'm assuming next week we'll get stuck into the shortlists for that. 01419511025. Now that you've heard from your manager, Celtic fans, how do you feel about the chance to wrap up the title this weekend? Will it be done this weekend? Is there any trepidation brought about by going to Tynecastle with a couple of injuries, or will it be straightforward? Let us know. Good time to call. We'll get you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. 0141 951 1025. Should be an incredible night. I'm going to say will be. It has to be. It doesn't really matter what outcome. It will be an incredible night in the Championship. So we're building up 5 games. Everybody plays. The league will be won by either Dundee or Queen's Park. Partick, Ayr, Inverness, Morton all going for the playoffs, or both Cove and Hamilton trying to stave off the playoffs or relegation at the bottom. It is all happening on 01419511025, Twitter at Clyde SSB. We just heard from Ange Postecoglou, Celtic fan, so I wanted to know how you're feeling about potentially winning the title this weekend. Will it be this weekend? Will it roll over to Ibrox? Do you have any slight concerns given some defensive injuries to key players? Do let us know. I like this question from Colin in Falkirk for you on the full time teaser. Now I'm going to have to quickly think on my feet because I want to reduce the number of answers for you. He wants 13, which is just a bit too many, I think. So let's go for, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 10 Celtic players, right, who've started a league game, who've started fewer than 4 league games under Ange Postecoglou, right? So there are 10 Celtic players that they have started a league game for Ange Postecoglou, but it's fewer than 4, and it doesn't include the guys that are there at the moment, you know, like, oh, or he's only started 1, or Kobayashi started 2, for instance, right?
Stephen Welsh?
No, he'll have started more than that. So
McCarthy?
I think once we start going, no, actually no, apparently not.
Bernabe?
So, nope. So it doesn't include Bernabe, and it wouldn't include Bernabe anyway, but I think he's probably,
so it
got
has to
more
be guys
that
were there before Ange.
So not currently in the team at the moment, basically. Yeah.
Whatever that means, you.
Yeah. It doesn't include it doesn't include Iwata. You know, these guys have all started fewer than 4 league games under Ange Postecoglou, but there are others, because he's been there since the start of last season, remember?
Barkas.
Here we are. Barkas has started 1 league game under Ange Postecoglou. I'll tell you what, I'll take out another, because he's technically there and on the bench at times, isn't he? Scott Bain. Right, I'll take him out. So you're now down to 9.
And they're all still at the club?
No.
Idiguchi?
No.
What?
What?
He only played once.
Yeah, it was a cup game, wasn't it? I don't even know if he did ever start a league game.
Montgomery.
Yes. Well done. Okay, I like that. Montgomery. Think way back to the start, because remember, there was obviously that, you know, he took over and then you play a couple of games late July, early August.
Mikey Johnson.
Well done. And that'll do us for now. Thank you to Colin for sending in. fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for the players that have started a league game under Ange, but it's fewer than 4 And we're not including the guys that are currently there, like Oh or Kobayashi or even Iwata. I think he's only started three. So there we go. You have some thinking time between now and the end of the show. What about John, who's a Celtic fan? What's on your mind tonight, John?
Evening, Gordon, Hugh, Kenny.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, John.
Hi. No, but just a point. I don't know if this point has been made this week. I've got a few points, but what do you think, Hugh? Obviously, Carter Vickers has been, as Kenny said, he's been playing for the play of the year, probably. I think the guy would deserve to sit on the bench for the Scottish Cup final and get a winner's medal.
Sentimentality.
Does it sound like an Ange Postecoglou thing to do?
No, it doesn't. And I think Carter Vickers would say, nah, you make me look like a charity case sitting there. Yeah, I understand that, John, but he will think to himself, I'm a professional footballer. If I am sitting on a bench knowing I'm not fit to play in the game, then I am being made to look like a charity case. And Ange Postecoglou wouldn't do that to him. So it's a very nice thought. I absolutely understand where you're coming from, but Cameron Carter-Vickers wouldn't want it that way.
Is that done, Kenny? Is that the done thing?
Well, they no got a medal anyway.
I'm trying to think how it works in the cup. I mean, obviously the league, you just play X amount.
I know, but
you can get
played every game.
You can get additional ones as well, can't you?
Absolutely, the club will get him a medal. He's not going to be a Celtic player this season and say, "Well, I never won a treble." Uh-huh. You know, he's
a main part of it.
He's been a massive part of it. So I don't think he needs to sit on the bench for that to actually get a medal. I mean, I think anybody with common sense, like, yeah, this is not just a guy who's been part of the squad. This is a guy that's been integral to everything they've done this season. So I would expect him to get a medal anyway.
I know sometimes in cup football they do talk about, you know, guys that played in the final sort of thing. I mean, the sight of him, I don't know what his knee surgery looks like, but sitting on the crutches and the bandage on the bench, I'm not sure. John, can Celtic get by without him this weekend?
Yes. As I said, the coronation I'm looking forward to this weekend is the coronation of Celtic winning the league.
I see what John did there.
Topicality.
I see what he did there. King Hugh and the other King Kenny in the studio. John doesn't have any concern. John, and I guess Alistair Johnson, easy for me to say, he's out as well. Anthony Ralston. Does it just feel like too much momentum for Celtic? Well, they'll get it over the line this weekend?
Funny enough, I agree with you for a change. As I say, the guys that come in, obviously Kobayashi is a cracking player and Ralston's done well, but they're not as good a players as the players that are out. But I still think we'll get the job done. The momentum's still there, and I thought Ralston's a good game to come on last week as well. But can I make another point, Gordon, to Hugh and Kenny, especially Kenny being a centre forward? Do you think, obviously, to take us to the next level, Kenny, Celtic will and maybe have got a player with prowess in the Champions League, a striker, to try and take it to the next level in Europe?
Like a proven Champions League striker, John?
Aye, the money's there, know what I mean?
Oh, if you've got to spare 40 million, maybe,
cheap,
John. Yeah. I mean, again, I think you should be happy what you've got in the building at the moment with Kyogo with 30 plus goals. I mean, I think there would be very few kind of fans would want to take him out of the team and have a go at the Champions League.
You get what John means in the sense that what was missing in the Champions League this year really was somebody that could convert chances in the group stages. But that phrase, proven Champions League striker, Celtic have got money in Scottish terms. How much would one of them cost you though?
Way too much. Yeah. And you know what, I think maybe a more pressing priority would be, I know they did play some really good football in the Champions League, it's getting people around Kyogo to maybe then go and get more chances, because I can't think of too many he missed over the Champions League. I can think of Maeda, I can think even Giakoumakis and Abada missing a few chances as well. But it's they've got somebody special in Kyogo. It might be, how can we get him? How do we best serve him?
I think another striker will be on the list of priorities for the summertime with regard to Ange Postecoglou, because if you're talking purely and simply the Champions League, O is very young, very inexperienced, and nowhere near that level.
And again though, for Kyogo, John, is there probably not a hope from Ange Postecoglou that next season's Kyogo in the Champions League is better than this season's, because he's a year down the line, he's experienced it? Is that not a realistic way for Celtic to grow and try and compete in the Champions League, rather than trying to find this player that suddenly takes them to another level?
No, as we said there, I mean, all the chances, that's what Celtic, they might not have qualified second or that, but they'd have probably got into the Europa League, you know what I mean? they'd been third, because the chances he missed, I mean, were unbelievable. But as Kenny said, it wasn't much Kyogo. Kyogo missed a few. But I just think to take us to the next level, you know what I mean? As I say, Kyogo, the amount of goals he scored is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal player. But I would just like to see another, you know, like a top-notch striker in there, so as to, like, you know, switch it about in the Champions League, Matt. Like, so I would.
This is the thing, Hugh. Our clubs have been here before. You grow, you know, you're the big fish here,
yeah,
and then you go to the small fish in the other pond. If Celtic were to bring in another, you know, top quality striker,
yeah,
how do you fit that in with Kyogo? Now, I get some people say that's not a concern. You know, you don't turn your nose up at good players. I do get that, but how much would it cost you to automatically upgrade Kyogo? I'd imagine, well, a fair few quid.
Yeah, but I think Celtic are in a position where they can afford a few quid, but not the kind of profile that John's after. You know, you can't get a proven Champions League goal scorer. You're starting at 40 million.
I heard Ronaldo's looking for a new club, yeah, so yeah, maybe he could go and get him.
Well, they tell me Bells Hill's very nice at this time of year. He could get in there and have a...
Bells Hill. Sorry, people of Bells Hill, if you're listening.
No, but anyway, Celtic will get a striker in because I think there's a gap there. O has a fair bit to go before he can be regarded as a replacement for Kyogo, should anything happen to Kyogo.
You'll know Kenny more than me. I'm just always fascinated by the numbers game. When you play one up front, how do you carry three in the squad? Or three good ones, certainly.
No, you can't. That's the answer. What you need to have is, so if you've got a Kyogo who's your number one, you can't have Kyogo as your number two, in my opinion. That's where I think when, and if you've got Kyogo, then you have O at the moment, it's a young one. You might actually have two younger ones, or you might.
Or Maeda or Abada fill in those emergency occasions.
You know, I just think when managers are going through recruitment, they have to, particularly in Scotland and even Rangers and Celtic, you have to prioritise where you need to strengthen. Surely the number nine for Celtic is not an area that they're looking as a pressing priority that they need to strengthen. Mm. And I get what you're saying, John. In an ideal world, if we want to get to the next level, and we could, if you want to get to the next level, you probably need to upgrade everybody. You know, if you're talking really competing in the Champions League. But to think about Kyogo, I still think Kyogo would probably be one of the last positions,
yeah,
that you would look to strengthen, particularly when his manager feels the way he feels about him and the job that he can do.
Because, okay, we went through all this, didn't we, as a Celtic's Champions League campaign went on, and it is a difficult one because naturally you get where John's coming from. Is it just a new striker is one that takes those chances in the chip? But there's nothing to say, you know, chance taking, you don't need me to tell you, Kenny, it's kind of one of those things. Maybe on another night Kyogo and Abada, yeah, do score them. Maybe with a year's more experience in dealing with the occasion, they do score them. You know, it's just not always that simple, is it?
I don't even think it's the year experience. It's what happens on that night. In that moment, do you take your chance or not? You train, and they'll go through the chances. I'm thinking of the one that came across for Maeda, and he absolutely scuffed it at Celtic Park. Like, that's a kind of a pattern drill. You'll get to the byline, you'll cut it back, particularly the way Celtic play, and you smash that into the back of the goal. You know, he's just never done it on the night.
If we talk about conventional strikers, Kyogo has been wonderful for Celtic, without question. But he's going on 29. He will be susceptible to injury or whatever. O is way behind him in terms of what he can bring to the team. Celtic need to bring in another striker. I need to.
How do you fit those three? That's Kenny's point. Kenny's saying when Celtic play with one, as they do every week, you just can't carry three good ones in a squad.
I think it's dangerous just to say, so we'll just carry on as we are then. You'll get found out.
Well, who are you getting rid of, though, I think is more the point.
No, you need to get rid of anybody.
You're not spending big money on another striker. That's just it. It's a fact. Celtic will not spend big money on a striker when they've got Kyogo in the building. Because another thing, anybody who's going to cost, again, proven Champions League, am I going to be starting? Because Kyogo's just scored 38 goals this season. You'll be fit. Well, you know what? I'll go somewhere else. I can go and maybe have a better chance of playing. Because Kyogo, it's just not a priority, I don't think, for Celtic as a starting number nine at the moment. Do they need a real capable backup? Probably. But that's not going to be the type of profile that John's talking about. I mean, it's a different question, to be honest. I just don't think Celtic will be looking to sign a starting number nine to replace Kyogo at this moment in time.
Thank you, John, on 01419511025. It's building up nicely. Let's in fact, we'll go back to Oakleview. Yeah, I'll give it another couple of minutes. Let's go even closer to kickoff, shall we? And then we'll speak to Andrew McLean. They're all 7:45 kickoffs tonight, and I can see all the different permutations playing out and on Twitter there. So Sean sent me a message a while ago. He's an Accies fan, just arrived at Gayfield, just over 3 years ago, we beat Rangers at Ibrox. How are we facing League One? That's the life of a Hamilton fan at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, don't defend well, you don't score. That'll
bad,
do.
Bad
that'll,
combo.
That'll do for you every time.
So it will be playoffs at best, Kenny. Let's be realistic here. Unless they win by
eight, seven,
not even more
head-to-head
than that, wouldn't it? No,
no, because they're playing on both, aren't
it? Ah, but bro, yeah.
14. I've got 14 in a difference there.
Oh, right, okay. So I've half in it, right? Yeah, right,
absolutely.
Fair enough. So just an 8-0 victory
just
for
an 8-0
Hamilton.
Does,
right, okay. So to repeat what I said, it's playoffs at best for Hamilton down at the bottom. Cove are in the playoff place at the moment. Hamilton are bottom and are both just above it, and are both do play Hamilton tonight, if you're keeping up. So should be blockbuster at the bottom. And speaking of which, see, this is how twisted we get at this time. Football rivalry. Brian says, us Falkirk types, we want Cove to finish in the playoffs so that we can relegate Mr. Hartley in the playoffs.
There you go. Football's a wonderful game.
Pick and choose who you want to play.
What do I always say to you? Scottish football runs on spite, malice and mistrust.
It's very true. Right, quickly, have you got any more for me? So players that have started fewer than four league games for Ange Postecoglou at Celtic, right. But it doesn't include the ones that are in that bracket this season, like Iwata, right. Kobayashi and O.
Liam Scales.
No.
Oh, he was on my list as well, Hugh. Can't believe it. Shaw?
No.
Oh, no, we're having a beast. Yeah. Segrist?
No.
John Joe Kenny?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll give you thinking time. We're
Julian?
Going back. No.
Oh, my
we're
goodness.
Going back to Oakleview next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final days or nights of the season don't come much bigger or more tense than this. Let's go back to Oakleview because Queen's Park against Dundee's fast approaching. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just waiting for the teams to come out the tunnel at the moment. Queen's Park boss Owen Coyle, he likened this game to the English Championship playoff final, with it being a straight shootout for promotion. Not quite the same money at stake, and the understatement of the century, Oakleview is not quite Wembley either, but it doesn't mean any less to the supporters in here. The 1,000 travelling Dundee fans, I'm sure you can hear them behind me making all sorts of noise at the moment. They'll believe that they're a Premiership club and that they should be competing in the top flight. And then you look at Queen's Park as well, and for me, certainly growing up, and it will be the same for many others of a similar age to me, that the thought of Queen's Park being in the top flight is absolutely wild because of that amateur status that they had for so long. That, of course, changed in 2019. They've had a really quick rise since then as well, and there's a chance that this historic club could be about to write a new chapter as well. But out of these two teams that are just making their way onto the park at the moment, one will definitely be visiting the likes of Celtic Park and Ibrox next season. The other will need to settle for a place in the playoffs and see if they can do it that way. The handshake's just taking place at the moment. I'll give you a recap of the starting lineups for the home side, despite the fact that it is quite far away from where Queen's Park traditionally play their football, of course, here at Oakleview. But they are here. It's Callum Ferry in goal for them, Marcel Oakley, Lee Kilday, Charlie Fox and Tommy Robson the back four. It's Jack Thompson and Malachi Boateng, the two holding midfielders, with Josh McPake, Grant Savory and Dom Thomas in behind Connor Shields. For the visitors, Adam Lengston's in goal for them. The back four, Josh Mulligan, Ryan Sweeney, Lee Ashcroft and Jordan Marshall. The midfield four, Luke McCowan, Barry Maguire, Lyle Cameron and Luke Hannant. And it's a front two of Alex Jakubiak and Zach Robinson, the referee for this one, David Munro. As I look over to my left where the Dundee fans are at the moment, they've got flares on the go. Some of those have been thrown onto the pitch, so that will have to get dealt with before the game gets underway here. It actually looks as if the synthetic surface is on fire. It's now been stamped out, but one of the flares had set a small part of the pitch alight. Thankfully that has been put out. The flares that had been thrown onto the pitch have been taken care of as well. So the teams are now just swapping ends at the moment as we get ready for this huge, huge game. But you look across the Championship, every single team apart from Raith Rovers is playing for something tonight, and it is absolutely incredible. It has got to be, surely, when you look across leagues in Europe, one of the most exciting ends, if not the most exciting end to any league across Europe, because there is so much at stake, and none more so in this game here at Oakleview, and we are just about to get underway.
Oh, what a night. A straight shootout to try and win the championship, win the title, get promotion to the top table of Scottish football. It does not get much better than that, Hugh Keevans. I don't know who wants to hear what here from your prediction. Who is joining the top flight next season out of these two?
I want to do my friend Owen Coyle a real favour here. I'm going to tip Dundee.
Good on you. Kenny Miller.
Dundee, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll win the game.
So they'll win the game. Yeah. They'll put it without doubt. They won't do it the nervy way with a draw.
No, I don't think so. I think they'll win the game.
Wow, right. I could run through the lot here. Partick, Ayr, Inverness, right. Inverness or Morton. Two playoff places available to those four. Who's taking them?
Well, Thistle will beat Raith.
They're done for you. Okay.
I think Inverness will beat Ayr.
And Inverness will make it. Yep. And Ayr and Morton will miss out.
Yep.
And at the bottom, Hamilton are at Arbroath. Hamilton need to better Cove's result to even make it into the playoffs. How's that going to pan out? Who's going straight down?
I think Hamilton will go down.
Hamilton straight down.
They'll both lose. Hamilton and Cove will both lose.
Oh, there we are. Well, we're underway. What a night it's going to be, because, you know, you've heard of these sort of final days of the season where you're keeping an eye on maybe one other result or two other results. There are scenarios here where you're keeping your eye on even more than that, really. For some of the teams involved, it is incredible. Like we said, Morton, they will particularly want to keep an eye on Inverness against Ayr and Partick Thistle. The game against Raith Rovers as well. Thistle unchanged, by the way, just kicking off at the moment, unchanged from the team which played Arbroath, beat Arbroath. Kyle Turner's been in great form, player of the month. He's in there. Ross Docherty, the skipper. Some experienced campaigners like Brian Graham and Stephen Lawless and Stuart Bannigan in there as well, as they look to secure their playoff spot. It's at that stage of the season where the nominees are out as well, Kenny, for the lower league player. There are three, I think. Is there three on show tonight? Dom Thomas and Grant Savory in the Queen's Park team, Paul McMullen in the Dundee team as well. So a bit of personal accolades, as you would expect, for the two teams going for the title.
Yeah, you would expect that. I mean, I think the Queen's Park story is incredible, because you would expect Dundee. I mean, Dundee would be favourites to win the league. Personally, for me, probably alongside Partick Thistle. Would be in a loop of their squad's excellent. So, but you expect the guys to get the individual accolades to be right at the top of the league and challenging for the title. So you've got that tonight.
If you're looking to start quickly, Morton have done it. So Morton have scored. They're 1-0 up. It's a thumping header.
So the stands are in.
From Jack Baird, which is some start up at Cove. So as things stand, Morton move on to 57
what
points.
What did I say to you?
And Ayr and Inverness.
What did I say? Cove Rangers. Right.
But Ayr and Inverness are obviously drawing at the moment because it's very early.
But it's not kicked off yet. So
yeah, I mean, you know, so it's a touch early for us to do the old as it stands. It's well done for Morton. But, you know, if anything changes between Inverness and Ayr, then that would change things as well.
And it opens the door for Hamilton.
Partick Thistle can have it. It does. It opens the door for Hamilton to at least get into those playoffs. I'm struggling to keep up. Unbelievable. Good start. Very much, I mean, only 3 minutes gone, but Queen's Park on the front foot at Oakleview, Kenny.
I think Dundee had a chance there. I think it was Jacoby that took a touch. He should have laid it off to his mate. It was a side. It would have been a shooting opportunity for about 10 yards on the angle. He chose to try and take a touch and turn himself. But it was a good opportunity.
I do wonder about the Oakleview factor. I mean, at Dens, it's 2-3-0 wins for Dundee. So if you were basing it on that, you would say absolutely. But they shared the spoils at Oakleview. And I just wonder if it's a bit more of a leveller. Look, it's a great occasion. We all know the story. We've given it the big build up, but I think we can, in all fairness, without offence, sorry, to Stenhouse Muir, admit this is not the ideal surroundings for a title shootout.
Absolutely not. I mean, again, you would expect, even just for the visuals, there's an odd chance, by the way.
Yeah, big slip in the box, and Dundee have scored. That is exactly what they needed, and it is Alex Jakubiak, I think, who gets the final touch. Queen's Park 0, Dundee 1, with just under 4 minutes gone. I don't know if it was that surface, I mentioned it being a leveller, but Queen's Park about to clear their lines. There's a slip, and it just presents the ball to Dundee, rolled across, and Jakubiak with the finish. And that, Hugh, is exactly the start you need.
And exactly the start Owen Coyle didn't need. But Dundee have looked bang at it since the first whistle. And you can't ask for anything more than to be a goal up at this early stage in the game. I don't believe in the one about, oh, it scored too early. There's never a time that it's too early or too late to score a goal. So it's a terrific start for Dundee. It's a worry for Queen's Park.
Same for both teams, etc, etc, Kenny. I get all that, but it is, so you see the Queen's Park defender, initially the ball gets stuck under his foot and then there's a slip. He's not covered himself in glory either, don't get me wrong, but he tries to handball it and misses it, fortunately for him. But yeah, it's a disaster for Queen's Park and brilliant for Dundee. Apparently the Dundee fans are jumping over the barrier to celebrate, and Adam Legsdon's, the Dundee keeper, is telling his own fans to rein it in a bit because they could still obviously go on and lose this game.
Yeah, that's the other problem with a ground like Ochilview. It's not designed to keep people off the park, but fans, they get excited, I understand that, and they pay their money, I understand that as well, but they need to calm down. And you know, at full time, if they come onto the park, that's understandable, but not after 5 minutes.
Queen's Park have got some well known former players in recent seasons, and one of them is there in attendance. Not that one, Lawrence Shankland, not playing until Sunday, so he's off to support his former team. I like that.
Big weekend for Lawrence Shankland. As I say, you cannot dismiss the loss of Carter Vickers and Alistair Johnson, and I think that Lawrence Shankland will pose a very real threat to Celtic on Sunday, unless Celtic can play what Ange calls our football and have the game sewn up before Lawrence Shankland is allowed to make his imprint.
We got a hat-trick against Celtic this season and still didn't win the game. It's been that type of season, trying to take on Ange Postecoglou's side. You never know, maybe the Scotland captain, Liverpool's Andy Robertson, maybe he's got the feet up watching his former team as well. They take on Brentford tomorrow at home, so there we go, maybe he'll be.
They've got to worry
in.
The mighty Brighton are behind the Liverpool, two games in hand. The Jurgen Klopp will be shaking.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else there when you started with these two letters.
Listen, Jurgen Klopp's not as good a manager as Sam Allardyce anyway.
According to Sam,
he needs to he needs to know his place in the food chain. Pep, we've all got to watch out that Big Sam's back, Kenny. That's been the word on the street down there, hasn't it?
Well, we'll see if Big Sam's back when he's playing against Pep in the first game.
And to be fair, imagine he wins.
You can have my caravan if he wins.
Queen's Park have settled a bit, and they're trying to come forward and make things happen up the other end. But it is Dundee that leads, so as things stand, very early, 7 minutes gone, Dundee will be in the Premiership next season, but a lot of football to be played. Right, how are you feeling on this teaser? You've still got quite a lot of work to do. We're looking for players that have started fewer than 4 league games under Ange Postecoglou for Celtic, but it doesn't include the ones that have done it this season, like Iwata, Kobayashi, or I took Scott Bain out for you as well, just because he's been in and about it, and he's been on the bench. So I think you've got 3. We're looking for another 6, I believe.
Hudson Edward,
yes, well done.
Ryan Christie,
well done. Ooh, don't like that silence.
Sorrow.
Oh, that is a good one, a really good one. I think he's only started 1.
Ball and goalie.
Yes, he started 2. You two have been got your thinking caps on. What's that? Only 2 to get, is it?
Yep, 2 to go.
There's a youngster you haven't given me yet.
Yep, we've named every other one, I think. Moffat.
Owen Moffat. Well done. Hugh once called him the wrong name on the show, and his mother phoned in to put Hugh right.
Sorry, Mrs. Moffat.
So you got that one, and one more to get.
And I'm toiling.
Started 3 games, no less, under Ange Postecoglou. Yeah.
Is he old, young, or is he?
In the middle. He's not like an academy youngster, if that's what you're asking. He's not Scottish. He was a signing. Some would say a flop signing, but I wouldn't dare to be so unfair. Yes.
But I'll be in a Yeti.
Remember him. There we go. What a night it's going to be in the Championship. I'm sad we have to leave you, but Mr. George Bowie's standing at that door, peering in. We couldn't possibly get in the way as it stands. Dundee will be up in the top flight as it stands. Morton would make it to the playoffs, but there is a long, long way to go. Who'll win the league? Who'll make the playoffs? Who'll go down? Three big questions, and we will definitely have the answers by the time we join you at 2 o'clock tomorrow. I look forward to it so much. We'll speak to you then.
Oh,
and it's an incredible equaliser from Queen's Park. Absolutely stunning, right out the top drawer. Really, as good a goal as you'll see all season, and I mean that. And that might just get them to the top flight. Oh, it's going to be that type of night. We'll be back at 2 tomorrow.